Today's daf, Ezer Hashem, is daf of Falafam and Alfam and Chasota. And these Gemaras, starting from the top of the Yamud, are one of the most important Gemaras in terms of the Chashivus of Talmud Torah. In middle of Maseches Sota, what is the Chashivus of Talmud Torah doing here? Well, the Mishnah had told us that in the case of a woman who is a Sota, so then, if she has the chuyos, even if she was guilty, chas v'chalil of being mezana, nevertheless, a schus could hold out for 3 years, holding back the punishment of the death at the hands of the mayim hama'orim. So we pick up from the Gemara 7 lines from the top, which says, quote in the Mishnah, v'yesh schus tola gimel shanim, it'll protect her for 3 years. Ask the Gemara schus to mayim. What type of protection is this woman getting? Ilay meschus to Torah, he... If you're going to say the schus is the schus of Torah, ha'ena mitzvah v'osehi. If you're talking about a woman who's learning, we're going to get in later on that the Mishnah beforehand spoke disparagingly of women learning. And so if we're talking about a schus of Torah, that she's osek in Torah, she is not considered a mitzvah v'osehi. She's not commanded for the mitzvah of Torah. Interestingly, over here, the Gemara does not mention acts as if he taught her tiflus, but it says that it's considered as if she wasn't commanded. El tzchus de mitzvah. Ah, must be that she's got tzchus de mitzvah. Actually, she's learning in a base medrash. But rather, she has tzchus de mitzvah. Tzchus de mitzvah, mi megana kula hai. Does the tzchus de mitzvah really protect a woman? Or anybody? Vahatanya, but then we learn in Braisa. Azur dorish Rabbi Nachum bar Yossi. Rabbi Nachum bar Yossi, this Gemara is also found in Perek Chelik as well, has a very powerful drasha. Excuse me, the Gemara in Chelek is going to be later on. This is only found here. Rav Nachum bar Yossi's drasha is as follows. The pasuk says, very important pasuk in Mishle, Kiner mitzvah v'torah or v'derech chayim tochachas musar, mitzvah is referred to as a ner, Torah as or. And the Gemara will expound on this. Tola akasav as a mitzvah b'ner, the Torah equates a mitzvah to a candle, v'sa Torah bar and Torah to the fire. Es ha-mitzvah b'ner, what does it mean? Lo melech ha-man ner ene megina elefi shah. Just like a candle only protects a person, provides light for a limited amount of time, af mitzvah ene megina elefi shah. So to a mitzvah only protects for a particular period of time. V'sa Torah bar lo melech ha-ma or megin lo lam, just like the light protects forever, in other words, light of the sun. The Torah protects forever. So if a person wants protection, doing mitzvahs is not enough. He has to be osek in Torah. Va'omer, and then the Gemara quotes another pasuk in Mishlei, the pasuk before it, which we mention when we make a siyum on a mesechta. B'shalechecha tancha osacha, when you go, it will guide you. B'shachcha tishma, when you wake up, it will protect you. What's b'salecha tanche oscha? What does that mean? Ze olam hazeh. It's in this world. B'shach b'cha tishma lecha zumisa. That will protect you in death. V'akitzosa hi sisichicha. And in your waking hours, it will protect you. What does that mean? In your waking hours, la'asad lavo. In the future, in the olam ha'emes, it will protect you. Masha la'adam, we have a metaphor over here in this pasuk to a person, that he's going in the dark. It's night and it's dark. And he's afraid from all the things that could trip him along the way or scratch him. Coats him are thorns. And he's afraid of animals and robbers. He doesn't know how to go. When he gets a torch, that saves him from the things that don't move, and thorn bushes, and the other obstacles. Now he can see his way around. But 5 lines into the wide, he's now afraid from wild animals. When the morning star rises, then he could be saved from the wild animals and the robbers. But he still doesn't know which way to go. When he reaches to a fork in the road, in those days, Prashas Drachim also meant at the fork of the road where there were signs to give him directions. Nitzel mikulam, then he is saved from all of them. And the Torah is our precious drachim. That's what shows us how to go. That is what's going to save us and guide us in this world. Davar achar, aver mechabit mitzvah, ve'en aver mechabit Torah. Aver could extinguish, God forbid, a mitzvah that was done. Aver cannot put out a mitzvah. Shenemar, here we go to Shir Hashirim. Mayim rabim lo yuchlu lechabos es ha'ava. A lot of water can't put out the love. And Ava here is the love of Torah. Amar Rav Yosef, mitzvah b'idin adasik ba megano mitzana. B'idin lo asik ba, agune migana itzule lo mitzala. A mitzvah, when you're involved with it, not only does it protect you, it also saves you. However, the moment you stop, it could protect you, but it will not save you. According to Rashi, it seems that the saving refers to saving from the Yetzer Hara. This is how it seems the Masifta understood the Rashi. It will protect you from the Yetzer Hara only at the time that you're doing it. Aguni Agna means to protect you from painful life experiences. But to be saved from the Yetzer Hara, that the mitzvos will not do. However, Torah, Beimin, the Asikba, Beimin, the Asikba, Migano umatzala. It protects a person, also saves him from the Yetzer Hara. Continues the Gemara, Maskefla Rabba. Rabba asked, Elimiata, but if this is going to be your understanding, Doeg v'Achitofel, two of the big villains in Tanakh, Achitofel, who betrays David Amelech, who conspired against David, and Doeg, who killed out all the Kohanim of Nov, and conspired with Shaul to chase down David HaMelech, the Gemara tells us in a few places that they themselves were quite learned. Why did the Torah not protect them? It doesn't protect, only when you're actually learning. The mitzvah never saves you from the Yetzer Hara. Torah, when you're involved with it, saves you from the Yetzer Hara, but a mitzvah does not. Vina amar la'olam schus Torah. Really, she does have a schus Torah. In other words, Ravina is going back to the Gemara's original question that we had brought up. What type of schus does one have? So the Gemara says that originally we said that it can't be a schus mitzvah, because schus mitzvah, as we brought out from this Gemara, is only at the time one is actually doing the mitzvah. So Ravina needs to give the following teretz. Really, she has a schus mitzvah. La'olam schus Torah, excuse me. La'olam schus Torah. U'karmet ein mitzvah, ein mitzvosa. She's not commanded. Nehide b'kudu lo mafgidna. Really, she's not commanded. But the igra, the reward, the makrin u'mesanyim beinayu, that her children reading Torah and learn Tanya, they learn Mishnah, Vinatron, Luhula Gavrayu, Adam Bebid Rasha, and they allow and encourage their husbands to go and learn the base Medrash, what we would colloquially call they kick their husband out of the house to go learn. Mi lo palgan badayu. Do they not get a schar? Of course, they get a tremendous amount of schar for doing that. It would be, even in the case of a sota, something that would protect. We continue on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, 10 lines from the bottom, where the Gemara continues to go on and discuss what exactly is the metaphor of Torah as precious drachim, the signs along the way. My precious drachim, Amr Abchizda Zetal Mechacham V'yoy Misa. A Talmud Chacham and the Yom HaMisa are the Proshas Drachim. These are not two independent clauses, but rather is one clause. A Talmud Chacham and a Yom HaMisa, that when his Yom HaMisa comes, he realizes that he's not to be Porish from the Torah, so then in such a case, the Talmud Chacham is someone who is reached this tremendous Madrega. In other words, his trip
is not complete until he reaches his Yom HaMisa. The Karen Ora adds that a Talmud Chacham whose name is Asmo B'Torah, the Gemara in Bracha says, Ein divrei Torah miskaimin on Samach Gimel and Beis El Misha Memes Asmo Leah, refers to a Talmud Chacham. So it could be, according to the Karen Ora, doesn't mean literally the Yom HaMisa, but if he combines the two, then he knows that he's reached the end of his way. Until then, everything is not complete. Like we said, the mitzvot will only be the light along the way, but he's not entirely reached the end of a life of Amilas B'Torah, which will save him from Olam Hazeh, as discussed in the Gemara on the first wide line. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, it's a Talmud Chacham who is combined with fear of Avera. Without the fear of Avera, so then in such a case, his Torah will not necessarily protect him. Rashi concludes in the Ramaskul Yiras Chet, the Yiras Chet will prevent him from running after his Yetzer. He needs to still have Yiras Chet. Marzut Ramar Zet Talmud Chacham, the Solki Leishmaitza Leave the Hilchasa. It's a Talmud Chacham who has taken his Torah and concluded it La Halacha. In other words, someone who has not concluded his Torah La Halacha, but then the Torah ultimately might not help him. But if he's concluded every Torah Halacha La Maisa, but in the end of the day, if he's concluded his Torah Halacha La Maisa, then at the end of the day, if he's going to have a challenge, he'll be able to overcome it. Tosis asks, in Dibra Maskel Zet Talmud Chacham, well, is that so clear that he'll be able to overcome it? Tema, Ve'eich Nitzel Mikulan, Va'lolo Nitzel Mi'etzar Ara, B'idin Adol Asik B'Torah. How is it going to save him from the Yetzara at the time that he's not Osik B'Torah? Just because he learned properly, he didn't only learn Chakiris, but he actually looked up what he's supposed to do, La Halacha. So Tosas answers, and so therefore it'll help him at the time that he's learning, but how will it help him other times? If he applies everything that he learned, then he's involved with it, then he never goes Dalet Amos below Torah. Question is, what does Tosas mean by that? At the end of the day, that could apply to even someone who's not Asik Shmai Taliba the Hilchasa. He could go wherever he's going, he could clear Chakiris, he could learn a lot of Iyun, without being Masik Shmai Tidliba Dilchasa, and he'll never be Mashiach Torah. What does Tosis mean? Maybe we can add that what Tosis is bringing out is that when he's Masik Shmai Tidliba Dilchasa, then he knows how to relate to every part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, even the areas where the Yetzirah might come up. He knows how to eat. He knows how to sleep. Not only he knows in theory what the different Shitas are, but he's come to a practical way to approach it. So Tosfos on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the Ramaskel Zeh is teaching us that only someone who has practically applied the halacha will be able to be mekadesh all parts of his life and then be nitzal from the Yetzirah because he will be able to relate to every part of existence. We had above in the Gemara, as the Gemara continues, that the Gemara explained another reason why without Torah, the Schus HaMitzvah is sometimes not enough, but one needs the Schus HaTorah. And the Gemara explained from Rabbi Nachum Bar Yossi that Aveira is Makiv Mitzvah, Ve'ein Aveira Makiv Torah. An Aveira could be an impediment to the Schus HaMitzvah, but not to Torah. Dovrach Aveira Makiv Mitzvah, Ein Aveira Makiv Torah. Amar Rabbi Yossi, this idea that we saw above from Nachum Bar Yosef, he darshin from Nachum Yosef Eichrei. He darshin the following pasuk, Kisinai. Kisinai is an expression that the Gemara uses as if it was given at Sinai. It's found in the Gemara in Kedushin on Chaf Amid Beis. Kinesinasa the Sinai as if it was given at our Sinai. Vilmale Dershua Doeg Vati Telfel. Doeg and Achi Tolfel made a mistake in how to understand the following pasuk. And for that reason, they made a mistake that they chased after David and they thought that they would be successful in overcoming David.
The Gemara, 7 lines from the bottom, explains. If they had understood this point, that Torah cannot be put out even by an Avira, then they would have made, wouldn't have made the fatal mistake. Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, in regards to the Eitzah position of Doeg and Achitofel, they assume the Pasuk in Tehillim. Leimar Elokim Azvu. David had abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David had done the Avera with Bathsheba, and for that reason, they had thought that David, because of Arayos, would be punished and they would succeed against him. My Dorish, V'lo Yer B'cha'erva's Dovar. David HaMelech was over on Lo Yer B'cha'erva's Dovar. But they didn't know Avera makiv mechabe mitzvah. Avera could extend mitzvah. Vein Avera mechabe Torah. But Avera cannot extinguish Torah, and hence they would not be successful. The Gemara continues and darshan another pasuk, the pasuk in Shira Shirim. Imite nishes kol hain beisay ba'ava boys yavoizu loy. The pasuk is hard to understand. The pasuk says, "Imiyitein ish es kolayim beisai." He was going to give all of his wealth to the Torah. It's a waste. What do you mean it's a waste? At the end of the day, the person is investing in Torah. There's no greater investment. So Gemara explains that this pasuk in Shir HaShirim is talking about a very specific phenomenon. Amar Ula lo kishimin achi Azariah. We're not talking about a case of Shimon, the brother of Azariah, who supported him. And it's also not talking about another case of support. V'loka Rabbi Yochanan Devei Nisiya. And not Rabbi Yochanan Devei Nisiya. The Nasi had supported Rabbi Yochanan. That's not what we're talking about. Rather, Eloka Hillel v'Shavna. Rather, we're talking about Hillel and Shavna Achi, the two brothers. Chasar of Dimi Omer, Hillel v'Shavna Achi Avi. Hillel also be Torah, Shavna avadiska. Hillel went into Torah, and Shavna went into business. Now, Shavna did not support Hillel. And the Gemara in Yuma describes dramatically the poverty that Hillel was in. Rashi quotes in the last few words on the Yomud. Hillel also be Torah, Shavna avadiska. So famalei, afterwards, when he became a big famous Talmud Chacham, so then Shavna said, Amala ta narek v'lifslog. I'll support you, and we divorce by the sky. Yosa Baskel Va'amra, that's when Baskel set out this pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Imitei Nish, as called Hoin Beisai. Was in that instance. Oimir Ben Azai, Chaf Aleph Amin Beis. This is a quote from our Mishnah about women learning Torah. The Mishnah earlier had told us that Benazi was of the opinion that actually one should inform the woman and teach her Torah. And one example of this is so that she should know that there is a concept of schus operating by Meisota, that if the Sota doesn't take its effect, it could very well be that it's based on the schus. While Rebbe Eliezer, now we're 2 lines from the top on Chafal from the base, Rebbe Eliezer, I mer kom lamed es bitoy Torah melamed tiflus. If a man teaches his daughter Torah, it's considered as if he taught her tiflus. Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel and Psachim and Sadi Aleph Amir Aleph say that tiflus is the lashon of avera, dvar avera. The Rav in his pirush on the Rav Bartanur in his pirush on the Mishnah adds that if a woman is going to learn Torah, so then in such a case she will use the Torah in a negative way to attempt to justify things that are avera. Of course, all that we are saying now is not halacha lemaisa. Mirtzei Hashem, at the end of today's daf, we will discuss some of the halacha lemaisa implications of this. The Gemara finds on the top continues. Tiflus aikadaitach. Are you going to say that it's you taught her tiflus? You taught her avera. You taught her tov. How could it be that you taught her tiflus? Because the last mishnah is milamdo tiflus. Ella Ema says Gemara kiilu limdo tiflus. It's as if you taught her tiflus. Amrevo. My time in the Rebbe Lazar. What's the rationale for Rebbe Lazar? Tichsiv, the pasuk says in Mishle, Ani chokma shachanti arma v'das mizimos emtza. The literal meaning of the pasuk, Ani chokma is I am wisdom, I dwell in cleverness. Shachanti arama is cleverness. However, Chazal here understand that the word arama could also mean something more negative, and that is coming from the word akumis, as the Gemara is about to say, and that is a form of crookedness. Tichsiv ani chachama shachanti arama kima shenichnesa chachama b'adam nichnesa imo armumis. When chachma comes in, so then in such a case, then there is a crookedness that could come inside of the person. Knowledge could be used for good things, and it could be used for bad things. For some reason, the Gemara is saying that when it comes to women, so then we're afraid they're going to use it for negative things. Obviously, for men, for some reason, that does not hinder their mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Seven lines from the top. V'rabbanon, ha'ini chacham mayavidle. What are the Rabbanon going to do with this pasuk? Here, Rabbanon means benazai. The Gemara says, "Lichud Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina." We need for Rabbi Yosef Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Chanina ain't dvar Torah miskaimin, ela mimi shemamid atzmai orim aleihem. The Torah will only stick by someone who literally makes himself naked on top of it. Rashi explains that it means he will be turn himself even poor in order to be able to succeed in Torah. This Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina, is very reminiscent of the Gemara in Brachos Samech Gimel Amud Beis, that Torah only comes to those who are meimis atzmo aleihem. Again, to be memayit in Olam Hazeh, in Hanos Olam Hazeh, willing to be in poverty in order to be able to be zocha the full blessing and full understanding of Torah. Shneimar ani chacham shachanti rama. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ein divrei Torah miskaimin ol misha meisim atzmoi ki mishneimar v'achacham me'ayin. That's a pasuk in Iyo. In other words, the only person who will be zocha to really internalize Torah is the person who negates himself. Me'ayin timotze, says Rashi, min pasuk kain. He makes himself as if nothing. We saw on the Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Hayam and Aleph, if I'm not mistaken, in regards to the sugya of Gaiva. So there, we saw that the detriment of Gaiva and someone who is a Baal Gaiva, who is the opposite of someone who makes himself Ayin, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if he serves Avodah Zarah, then we elaborated that the reason for that is because anybody who is a Baal Gaiva cuts HaKadosh Baruch Hu out from part of his life. So maybe the significance of this limud of Rabbi Yochanan is a person who negates himself, he allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he allows the full power of Torah inside of him. Again, the halachos in regards to women's Talmud Torah, Mirtz Hashem, we will continue later on. What is interestingly raised is in Dibra Maskel Ben Azai, that at first glance, the Yerushalmi points out that there are very similar opinions of Ben Azai and Rebbe Lazar Ben Azariah in Chagig on Dav Gimel Amid Aleph. Rebbe Lazar Ben Azariah says on the Pasuk, where we have the mitzvah of Hakel, that all of Klal Yisrael is to gather together, the men, women, and children. So there, the Torah tells us, what are the men there for? Anashim lishmoa. Men are there to learn, and women to hear. So here it seems, no pun intended, over here it seems, that the role of women in Torah is to actually listen to Torah. That seems similar a little bit to Ben Azai, who said that it's kedai for women to know things. So Tosa says, no, that opinion of Loza Ben Azariah is not in consonance with Ben Azai, because the mitzvah, lishmoa, is an order that they should know to be mekayim the mitzvahs. One can explain that what that means in the fourth line of Tosas on the top of the Amid means that they should know the halachos to be able to do the mitzvahs properly, which we will see later on, that there are many who say that that applies for women as well. that there is an inyan for them to learn Torah, to know the mitzvahs. However, in order that they should understand all the implications of why the marim worked, why it didn't work, that Ben Azi says that they should know that, that would not be included in the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. The Gemara continues about 12 lines in, Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Rabbi Yeshua said something critical about a woman's priorities as far as learning as well as in her relationship with her husband. Let's look back at the 5 lines before the Gemara. Shua Omer wrote to Isha Bekav Tiflus, a person would rather have the measurement, a woman would rather have measurement of a Kav of Tiflus. Here Tiflus clearly does not mean Aveira, but Tiflus means to be close to her husband. In other words, a certain form of Lutzanus and levity. Mitisha kavin mitprishus. She wants that more than 9 kavin of precious. And therefore, the presumably Rabbi Yeshua is connected to the statement above in regards to Talmud Torah, is that she will want to combine the Torah with the levity, which would be dangerous. So the Gemara says, Maika Amar Hachi Kamar, Rosa Isha Bekavitiflus Ima, Mitisha Kavin Uprishus. All of the Kav over here explains the Gemara that a woman would rather have a lot less, only a Kav of food, but with Tiflus, that her husband should be with her, rather than 9 Kavim and Precious. And since the Gemara here is adding that she prefers this much more, then that is not consistent with the values of Torah, where the Torah encourages the minimization of Tiflus. Now, of course, this Tiflus, again, doesn't mean Lidvar Avera, but rather she desires the emotional time with her husband. And the Torah learning, one could add, has many parts of it that are not built toward the emotional bonding of husband and wife. Of course, that's of Torah value, no question. But Talmud Torah itself can be a very, very strong and disciplined limud, whether it's Gemara B'iyun, B'kiyas, or even Chachmas HaNister, all of those things don't go together with the notions of Tiflus. The Gemara continues on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah had told us other statements of teaching from Rabbi Yehoshua. Aside from Reitze Isha Bekava Tiflus Mitisha Kavim Precious, which we already explained, the Mishnah, had also quoted from Rabbi Yehoshua that there was Huaya Omer Chasid Shota, Rosh Arum, that we have these ideas of a Chassid Shota and a Rosh Arum, which the Gemara will explain. For Isha Prushu, Makas Prushin, they are the Mabole Olam, they represent the Hevel, the negative things in this world. What exactly is a Chassid Shota? Here the Gemara is a famous Gemara, 7 lines from before the wide. Hu Yama Chassid Shota, Hechidam Chassid Shota, Gigon de Katava, Isisa Ben Nahara, there's a woman that's drowning in a river. Va'amar, and he says, it's not appropriate for me, notice even lav orachara, it's not socially appropriate for me to look at her, to save her. Of course, that is chassid shote. The mitzvah, of course, is for him to save her. Hechi dami rasha arum. What exactly does it mean, rasha arum? Now, the word arum could mean naked, and it could also mean crooked. Over here, the Gemara is understanding Rasha Arum as crookedness. What exactly is not just a Rasha, but also crookedness? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Zeh Amatim Dvarav L'dayin, Kodem Shiova Baal Din Chavero. That's someone who already presents his case to a Dayin before the other litigant presents. The Gemara in Shavuot, Sandaf Lamed Aleph, develops, as Rashi explains, Dibra Maschel Shematim, that this is an Iser Do Raisa, to present in case first. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Avo Omer, Rabbi Avo gives another explanation for what is a Rosh Arum. Ze'anoisin dinar la'ani la'hashlin lo masayim zuz. Fascinating halacha. Rabbi Avo constructs a case where actually giving tzedakah is a terrible, terrible thing for the ani. How could that be? This not. If you have the following case, this is a Mishnah in Peya, Peraches Mishnaches, somebody who has 200 zuz of liquid assets, Lo yitel leket shechul peyet. We know that the Torah Kedosha tells us that one should leave off the corner of one's field for an ani, just something one dropped belongs to ani, all that is included in Maseches Peah. So then in such a case, if you have 200 zuz, you lose the leket shechul peyet. Umayser ani, as well as my sonny. Hayolam asayim chaser dina, if he has 200 minus the dinar, afilu elef nos lo ka'achas. Even if they give the ani 1,000 zuz, that means he goes way over the limit for an ani. But at the time that he started getting it, he had 199. So then it's mutter for him to get everything. Obviously, Chazal had to draw a line. So the law line of someone who's an ani is someone who has liquid assets of 200 zuz. So even if it goes over, as long as when he started receiving the money in the cash payment, he was not wealthy, he was an ani, then he could even get 1,000 zuz. Rabbi Yochanan says it's a different idea, sons of Rasha Aram. But Rabbi Avo has taught us the following. He's taught us that it's possible to give someone insidiously, adds to a poor person, exactly they have 200 zuz, then they no longer have to give them the big stipend that they're giving out to the other poor people, and that is a maisa rishus. Rabbi Asim, Rabbi Yochanan, Zeh Meisi Atzmo Limkar B'Nichsasim Uwatim. Someone who gives a suggestion on Chafalef Amid Beis, 7 lines from the bottom, Rabbi Yochanan continues and gives another explanation for when the Mishnah calls someone a Rasha Arum. Am Rabbi Yochanan, a Rasha Arum is the following. Zeh Meisi Atzmo Limkar B'Nichsasim Uwatim. Someone who suggests to sell possessions when there isn't much around. What does that mean? Rashi describes that the Gemara in Bava Basra and Kuflam and Tesla and Beis describes someone who dies with daughters and sons. The halacha is that when there is a lot of possessions, so then the daughters can be fed through the many possessions. Even if there isn't a lot of possessions, so then the daughters are supported as well from those possessions. However, if there's nothing left, if everything is sold, then the brothers do not have to sell they do not have to support their sisters. So here is the terrible suggestion. The Rasha Arum comes along and tells the Yisomim, the brothers, that they could save money by selling all their possessions, and then in such a case, they won't have to support their sisters. This is brought out in Bava Basra and Kuflam and Tesla Beis. So that is a Rasha Arum, the one who suggests that. Abaye Yomar, 5 lines in the bottom, Zeh Meisi Atzo Limkar B'Nechasim Kirib and Shimon Gamaliel. The Sanya, as we learn in the following Braisa, Nechasi Lecha, let's say Reuven is Makne to Shimon, his Nechasim. V'acharecha, and after you, Shimon, dies, Reuven says to Shimon, L'plaini, it will go to Levi. V'yared HaRishon U'machar. And then the first goes and sells it, and he eats the money. So here there's a machlokas, what's going to be, if Shimon sells it, what's going to be vis-a-vis Levi? Hasheni motzi miyad alakucha, is divrei Rebbe. According to Rebbe, the halacha is that once Reuven dies, once Shimon dies, so then Shimon's purchasers, let's call him Binyamin, then he has to surrender it to Levi. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Shimon Gamliel Omer Ein L'Sheni L'Mashashir Risha. No, Levi's not entitled to anything. If that's so, the one who gives the suggestion of Shimon to sell to Binyamin, is really being mafsid, is causing Levi to lose, and that would be a Rasha Arum. Rav Yosef Bar Chama Omer. Rav Sheshes, Zeh Machriya Achirim Baruch Hosav. Fascinating opinion. Rav Yosef Bar Chama says the name of Rav Sheshes. This is someone who gives suggestions to others by saying, act like me and follow me. A pedagogue who demands total obedience. Rashi explains, be scared of those people. Be scared of those manhigim that say that you have to be like me. Take a look at Rashi, Machri Achirim Baruch Hosav, Ru'u Vasu Kimoini, V'lechu B'drachai, do exactly like me. Says Rashi, "Lo niskavin zel haris atzma kechosid bein ebrius." He wants to show everybody that he's a chosid. Vein tochol kibaro, and his outside is not like his inside. El shilo yidagtiku achrav livdok b'toy vosav. Why does he say copy me? Seems that Rashi is giving a psychological phenomenon that he's saying that in order that they should not check after his ways. In other words, they're so busy copying him, they will not notice that he is a hypocrite. The Ein Eliyahu adds a fascinating idea. If someone is insecure about themselves and is embarrassed about certain averos, so they're insecure that other people will say negative things about them. So how do they assure that people won't? If they make people follow them and imitate them. So in such a case, then no one will notice their maisa rishus. Rabbi Zrika Amar Rav Huna gives a different shav rasha orim. Zeh mekel la'atzmo. Someone's mekel for himself. U'machmir la'achirim. Is machmir for others. For himself, he's lenient. For others, he's machmir. I've been zochet to see that my Rebbe here in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, Rav Nevenzal is mamish, the exact opposite. In fact, Ad Kedei Kach, his son Rav Chizkiyo says, Ha'abo hev chumrot, that his father loves chumrot, but he loves chumrot for himself. But when he paskins a shaila for others, he makes it clear if there is a chumrah, and he does not look for chumras on others. He looks after to be machmir for himself. Ula Omar, zeh shekar v'shana v'lo shimesh talmidei chachamim. So it's someone who learned kra is psukim, shana means mishnayis, but he didn't, was not mishamesh talmidei chachamim. Rashi here has a long arichus of the importance of Shimush Talmidei Chacham. It's important Rashi, so let's read it. V'lo Shimush Talmidei Chacham on the topic of Beis Amin Aleph. Lilmod Svaros HaGemara B'tamei Mishnah Mahem. What is Shimush Talmidei Chacham? It doesn't only mean to serve a Talmud Chacham, food and drink and so on, but it means to be close to Talmidei Chacham to understand the Tamim of the Mishnah. Rashi Hu She'ein Tarasa Al-Bor Yav Ein Lomod Dimenu. He's a Rashi because his Torah doesn't understand. In other words, a person who is not meshamish talmid chacham to understand the rationales of the halacha, the Torah will not stand. Shalidei atamim yeshchiluk b'sar v'heter. The rationales often make a big difference in the heter. B'dinei mamnas l'skusu l'chayu b'taras l'tamil l'tahara. K'damar b'kama duchti. My time amar marachi, like the Gemara many times asks, says Rashi, why did you say it this way? Amar hachi v'amar mai b'nayu k'mina kach v'kach as a nafkimina. That's why he's a Rasha, because his Torah will not stand. It's a very, very strong indictment. The person whose Torah doesn't stand, on this line of the Gemara, we're calling him a Rasha. The Aramu, and he's Aram, he's crooked. Shashameh's kolo shonem mishne yosef kasaru shabaku v'tameh. People who hear him quoting a lot of ideas think that he understands them. V'noagim bo kvot talmid chacham, and he's fooled them that they treat him like a talmid chacham, and he really is not a talmid chacham. The first set of halachas, Be'ezer Hashem, as we've concluded the daf on Chaf Aleph in Sota that we will discuss, is a very famous discussion, and that, of course, is, we will maybe even try to get in three topics, but if I don't want to discuss in too much detail because it is a very, very large sugya, and that is the line, of course, in the Mishnah that says that if someone teaches women Torah, it's as if they're teaching them Tiflus. The opinion of the Rambam is that it means Dvarim Betelim. And it's Tafel, that doesn't have a Tam, there's no meaning behind it, and it's not productive. How do we understand that? How is that Halacha L'maaseh? So I will not be Mechadesh very much, I will just repeat the basic Horos. Obviously this is a much longer discussion that I would have with Talmidim in a more face-to-face setting, as opposed to in a recording. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perech Aleph, Halacha Yud Gimel, that Kol Isha Shlimda Torah Yesh Laschar, Avol Eina Kischar Ish, Mipnei Shelo Nitzdavit. So Kol Ois, the Dover Shein Mitzvah Lava Soso, Ein Schar Kischar Mitzvah Shasa El Pachos Menu. That a woman who learns, she does have schar, but it's not on the madrega of the schar ish. The Rambam also mentions, though, that a woman is not supposed to learn Talmud Torah. And particularly, the Rambam adds that however, the Rambam adds that the expression of Kimalamda Tiflus is not in regards to Torah Shebichsav, it's said in regards to Torah Shebal Peh. This is the reason that that some had pointed out that as the generations changed, that it was therefore lichatchila to teach a woman Torah Shebel Ksav. This is the mashmos of the Taz in Reish Mem Vav Sif Katan Dalid. However, in regards to Torah Shebel Peh, there was more resistance to this, based on the Lashon Rambam, that the Rambam understood. Again, the Rambam's Lashon is, Amru Chacham, Kolam Lamedes, Bito Torah Kilum Da Tiflis, Bamedvar Mur, Metorah Shebal Peh, Ava Torah Shebiksav, Lo Yilamed Oso Lechatchila. So Rambam says, Torah Shebiksav should not be taught Lechatchila. And then, there was some who said that in that generation, already, there was an Inyan to teach them Torah Shebiksav. It's well known that the Chavetz Chaim, in the Likutei Halachos, wrote a very, very powerful Lashon, which of course became the backbone behind the Beis Yaakov movement. Let's just, the Likutei Halachos are in our sugi. Let's review the famous lines of the Chavetz Chaim. Bizman hazeh mitzvah rabba lelamed lebnos of chumash, v'gam nevim uksuvim, u'mesorei chazal, kigom maseches avos, v'sefer menorahs hamor, u'kedoma, kedei sheyis'ames etzlam inyan emunaseinu hakdosha. Because of course, Tanakh, Chazal, Avos, all of them have the Yesodos of the Emuna. Umash Amru Chazal, this Chazal was critical. Kiyilum Lamdo Tiflus, Dafke Bizmanim Shilfaneinu, Shikolechad Ha'idor B'mokom Avos, V'kabolos Avos Ha'yechazak Ma'od, Eitzel Kolechad Ve'echad, V'snahi B'derech Shadarke Avosav. When it was strong, so then there was no need to teach them. And then you could rely on the anhaga. Now, of course, today there have been different traditions that have developed. Example, Ramesha Feinstein's approach in his Shailas Uchuvas. Based on the distinction that we find that the Rambam used the expression of Tiflus specifically in regards to Torah Shebal Peh, Rav Moshe Feinstein is very resistant to allow women to learn Mishnayos, except for Maseches Avos, and as we saw in the Chafetz Chaim's language, he did not mention the learning of Mishnayos as well. There are some who are even more stringent than Rav Moshe Feinstein. In Rav Ozner's Chuvas Neshevet Alevi Chelik Vav Simen Kuf Nun, Rav Ozner writes that one should not learn Be'iyun with women, even the Torah Shebichsav, with the Perushim Amukim, like the Ramban and Ibn Ezra. It seems that many Beis Yaakovs today do not follow this tradition, but obviously the Talmidim Rav Ozner do. So there are many traditions in this regard. What's interesting to note is that in regard to a woman learning by herself and learning L'shem Shemayim, as opposed to an instance of institutional learning, here we have some very important Marim Mekomos. The Chida in his Sefer Tov Ayin in Simin Dalid writes that a woman who really wants to learn, she's allowed to have her father and others teach her. It sounds like the Mishnah, according to the Chida, is talking on a broader institutional level. The Torah Tamima in the middle of Dvarim, in Perik Yud Aleph Ha'ara Memches, quotes Kadmonim, who seemed to have also discussed about the Isha Chachama, that it could be that it's permissible for them to learn even all parts of Torah Shebal Peh. And here he quotes the Kadmon, Reb Shmuel ben Rabbi Chanan, Yaakov,
from Venezia, says that Maimer Chachamenu Kom Lamed is Bito Torah Kilman Biltifus Ulay Nemer Kishom Lamed Bekanusa.
It's talking about when he immediately pushes her to learn.
Omnom Hanoshim Hashenadav Liba Mosano the Kirval Mlachas Mlachas Hashem Mitzad Bechirasan Betov Mashu Tov.
A woman who chooses on her own. So then, in such a case, Asiv Atzlichu Minim Hashemayim Yisaka. The problem is that it's not so well known who the author of this statement is, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Elchanan, but it is quoted in the Torah Tamima. The Hamasifta edition, those the Hadar, quotes a Sefer Yifei Lelev from Yoredeya on these halachas in Reish Mem Vav Sifkat and Yutes that says that the Isser to teach a woman Torah is only when others are teaching, but she herself can learn. And probably most significantly, we have a Tshuvas HaTashbet that says that the wife of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yochanan was very much learned, as well as the Tshuvas Marshal in Simin Chavtes quotes from an Isha Chachama that sat and learned, and the Likutei Yosher says that Rechel, the daughter-in-law of the Maril, was someone who had learned Ba Melus like me. So it seems that within the tradition, there were singular women who did pursue Talmud Torah, and did learn like men. According to the Chafetz Chaim, where you draw the line, of course, there are different traditions today within different Jewish communities, but the Chafetz Chaim did feel that the expression Malamdo Tiflus does not apply, at least in regards to the Torah Shebaal Peh that inspires and gives Musar. Although he seems to look at it as a bidyevet, that the shtetl walls have fallen down, so then in such a case, then it needs to be done. Of course, the practical applications, because there are different traditions within Klal Yisrael, we'll stay away from right now. Obviously, in different instances, it will be my pleasure to discuss. But suffice to say, with these Maror Mekomos, these are basic Maror Mekomos of the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel of Talmud Torah. It might be kedai also to emphasize the approach of Reb Chaim, not in regards to women's learning, but in regards to the question of then how could women make a Birchas HaTorah if they're not Mechuyavos in Talmud Torah. Reb Chaim answers beautifully that women are as connected to Torah as men. In the Chetzah Shel Torah, they might not have the Pu'ula of the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, but Torah impacts in their lives no differently than it does a man. It manifests in Talmud Torah differently, but they are as connected, and therefore they can make all the brachos of Birchas HaTorah just like a man can. Another hot button topic that comes out Halacha L'Maaseh from our daf. Our daf is a very important and even controversial daf of how you apply Halacha L'Maaseh, is the notion of a Chassid Shota. We learned in our Gemara in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis that a Chassid Shota is someone who refuses to save a woman because he's going to come to look at her. What would happen if a woman is not in a matzav of pikuach nefesh? The davar pashut from our Gemara that if a woman is in a matzav of pikuach nefesh, so then in such a case, then all bets are off, and of course he's going to save her. And if God forbid he doesn't, so then that's a terrible thing. Ad kidei kach that the pnei Yeshua in a tshuva in Evin Ezer Simen Mem Dalet says even if he'll come to the Avera, which Chazal discuss is absolutely terrible, the Avera of Hotzah Zer Levatola, the Gemara Darshins in Shabbos, Lo Sinaf B'Yad, Lo Sinaf B'Regel, at the end of the third perek, nevertheless, he's Mechuyiv to save her. Similarly, Egyptian, great posek, one of the Kanmonim, the Ginas Vradim, writes that someone who's worried about Hirur and doesn't save her, so then in such a case, it's as if he murdered her. The Oz V'Hadar, which an edition that's put out by the New Square Hasidim, quotes a sefer Minchas Chareva that raises the following suffix. What happens, Bear Moshe, not the Mincha Chareva, writes that if a woman falls down the street where it's not a state of Pikuach Nefesh, so then the Bear Moshe was machmir. Ber Moshe was the tradition of Hungarian Hasidus, is machmir in the case of where the woman is not dressed modestly, because that will lead lidei hirur. However, in the Tshuvas Ozne Dabru of Reb Zilber, Reb Yitzchak, he says that it will be permissible to help pick up the woman, because there is no Isser Daraisa here at all. The fact that it is Megia, I presume that I just see this psak quoted in his name, but presumably, this, if one wants to look into the Ozne Dabru, it's in Chelik Yudalit Simin Nunal, the Negiya over here is not Derech Kirva, and therefore he says that it would be permissible. However, that would only be in a case where it's not clear that he would come Lidei Hirhur Aveira. Moshe Feinstein elaborates very clearly and beautifully in Evan Ezra Chelik Aleph Simen Nun Vav that it's not the same type of thing of where a person walks in the street where unfortunately the people are not appropriately dressed and that he might come Lidei Hirhur to a place where he knows that he's going to be Maharher. So the Ozne Dabru says that if it's an instance where he knows he'll come Lidei Hirhur, or even he's doing it Lidei Hirhur, so then of course it would qualify as the Isra of Israel the Rayas, and it would be Usr to do. However, if the woman is dressed both in Sanua, he says, or maybe we would argue even if a woman is dressed both in She'enat Sanua, if he knows that he's not going to come Lidei Hirhur, then in such a case it would be permissible. Rev Zilber concludes very wisely and says, this of course is a judgment call of the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch, and every inyan is different. However, bottom line is, if he will not become Lidei Hirur, then the halacha is that it is permissible. Interestingly, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Evan Ezer, chelik al Simenun Vav, concludes with the famous shiloh that some of the boys in yeshiva like to describe, the hanging fish, and that is an instance where a woman, let's say in the workplace, where there's no hirur chas v'chalila involved, where she sticks out the hand as a formal handshake. So there Rav Moshe says that even though that it's hard for him, lamaisa, to say it's mutter, nevertheless, it does not involve arayos, because he says, me'ikur d'dina, it's mutter, because there isn't any negiya derech chiba. I could say that I had a maisa rav with one of my great rabbeim of Herschel Schechter after a shiur that was given in front of philanthropists. So then there was a woman who stuck out her hand to shake Rav Schechter's hand, and he did respond in kind, shaking the hand. Obviously there it wasn't done b'day hirur. I went next because I happened to have been the avreich in the kolel who had given the shiur, and I was lucky enough to have already seen what my Rebbe had done. So then of course it seems that there is a Maaser Rav already to rely on, even though the Maaser in the Tshuva, at least in that Tshuva in Simen Nun Vav, does not spell out Halacha L'Maaser Mutter, even though he says Mi'ikur D'dina would be Mutter, but the Maaser Rav that I saw by one of my Rabbeim was to be Matir. Once again, there are different Masoras in this regard, and of course if there's any Shemitz of Hirur, so then what we're dealing with is an Abizrayu da Arayus or Arayus Mamish, and then of course the entire landscape of the halacha changes very much, and then many of these things would be absolutely asur, and even possibly Yehoreg Baal Yavor. The third topic today is tzedakah, and to review some of the basic klalim, one of them emerged from our Gemara. Our Gemara had said that if a person has 200 zuz of liquid assets, so then in such a case he's not entitled to tzedakah. So let's review the halachas in Shulchan Aruch, the basic language of the Shulchan Aruch, and give one important reference in the Shailos HaTshuvos in regards to tzedakah. The language of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Nun Gimel Sif Aleph is the following. It's important to know that in the time of Chazal, as well as in the Shulchan Aruch, there were two things. One was the Tamchli, and the Tamchli was there, as the Gemara in Bava Basra in the first parak describes. It was there to give out food for people who needed food. So if a person has two meals worth, then he doesn't take from the pot. Mazon Yudalit Seudos, Lo Yitol Ma'akumcha. If he has already
money for, or food, for 14 meals, then he does not take from the kupa shel tzedakah. The tamchui was given out every day. The kupa would deliver to the aniyim every week. 2 meals a day for a week, which is 14. Now, if a person already has that food, so then in such a case, he does not need it. There are some, the smack in Reish Samach Zayin, the Shach deals with this in Sifkat and Aleph over there in Reish Nun Gimel, who claim that Bizman Azeh, many of the halachas of Kupa and Tamchui do not apply, Yesh Ladun Bazeh, but either way, clearly, of course, we still have Kupa Bizman Hazeh. The Shulchan Aruch also continues, V'im Yesh Lo Masayim Zuz, V'ein Enosev Enosemem, if he has 200 zuz of liquid assets, then he's not entitled to tzedakah. But if he has 200 zuz minus a dinar, so then in such a case, then he's entitled to the tzedakah. And it could very well be that, as our Gemara describes, that he'll get a lot of money, a lot, obviously, being relative, but a lot of money relative to what he had once before, and he's still entitled to take this as tzedakah. Shulchan Aruch seems to broaden the aniyim. Not only is an ani who's got 199 allowed to go and collect, and if he gets 1,000, that's totally fine, but the Shulchan Aruch over there in Reish Nun Gimel, in Siv Bey's comments, that Yesh Omrim Shalom Nem Rashur Melu Elabim Meim. Again, one needs to know when do those halachas of tzedakah apply bizman hazeh, and when don't they, when the economical system was a little bit different. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, Al bizman hazeh yocholito ad shiyelo keren kedei shiyisfarin tzu b'nei vesel meharevach. A person would be entitled to be called an ani, and be entitled to collect for himself, and there would be a mitzvah to support him until he has his own fund that he's able to live off of. The Tshuvas HaRadvaz uses our Gemara in Chelek Bey, Simin Tovshin Yudalit, and it's brought down in the Pischei Tshuva as well in Reish Nun Gimel in Sifkat and Aleph, about the following phenomenon. That is for those people who go around and collect and go from place to place, and ultimately at a certain point they accrue more than 1,000 zuz, and it could very well be that they would be considered an ashir. And the halacha is that you're only entitled to get leket shechapeh, as well as most tzedakah, up until 200 zuz. So the Radvaz has a very interesting approach. The Radvaz suggests that just like our Gemara said, that if he's got one penny less of 200 zuz, then he's entitled to tzedakah, he's allowed to get 1,000. Says the Radvaz, if a person goes on a collecting trip, and he's already collected a significant amount of money, but he hasn't returned home yet, so then he's like the same person who's getting the 1,000 zuz in one shot, and that if even if a person gives him 1,000 zuz, he has not done anything wrong in terms of presenting himself as someone who needs the tzedakah. So it could be, says the Radvaz, that that would apply as well for people who are going around. However, the Radvaz concludes, that's one thing for a person who's going on a road trip, but the kupa shel tzedakah, once he's collected, he's gotten his 1,000 zuz check, then he's no longer entitled to anything from the kupa shel tzedakah, and he should live off of that. And it could very well be that as long as the person doesn't have a keren that he could live off, as the mechaber sensitive bays, maybe bizman hazeh halachos would change. But the rule that as long as he's on his trip, that applies, but that would not apply in terms of the gabbai tzedakah giving from his kupa. The rationale of the Radvaz is quite simple, and that is, if you're going to only allow him to collect up until 200 zuz, then by the time he's going to get home, he needs to pay for the basic fare. He gets home, and by the time he's home, he's already less than 200 zuz, then he's got to go all the way back. That, the Radvaz says, is not fair. Obviously, he's entitled to go for more, but again, it should be kept in mind, and he could be considered still as someone who's doing one maisa, and he's allowed to present himself as an ani as long as when he left his house he was that way. But the moment he returns home, so then he's got to fall back to, God forbid, the less than 200 zuz to be able to go to present himself as an ani again to be entitled to tzedakah. Of course, from the kupa should use a tremendous amount of chachma. This concludes our three broad topics
Sometimes we do more precise topics. These topics are hot button halacha issues, which is just meant to be a very brief survey with the basic makoros. But of course, on these three hot button issues, one should consult with Rabbanim Gedolim for halacha maisa. And this is some of the basic background in Shulchan Aruch and some shailus u'tshuvos. And now we conclude Bezer Hashem Saita Daf Chaf Aleph.